Blog Talk Radio.
Yeshua was the Messiah. And so we had a
man that was born blind from birth. And Yeshua gave him his sight. And, you know, the apostles asked, well, who sinned, his parents or him? And it was said that neither had sinned, but it was for the glory of the Most High, that we might see his glory and understand who Messiah is. So not all sicknesses are a result of sin, but 99.999% of them are. Okay, and so we want to be mindful of that Yah heals us from our infirmities, and our infirmities are brought about 99% of the time by our own actions, things that we are doing or not doing. So I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time this morning. We want to greet everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk, on the internet in general, wherever you may be. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Let us go ahead and let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your heads as we turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep the commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you. We magnify you. We lift you up on today, Father. We bow down and we worship thee, O Yah Elohim. We worship thee. Hallelujah. 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 You are our provider and our healer. You are our caregiver. Hallelujah. You give us life. And it's because you that we have our being, Father. And we just adore you and appreciate you so much on this morning, Father. And we lift up our voices to thee. And magnify thy name. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah to you, O Yah Elohim. Glory to you, O Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained, that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us, to deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, that you have walked contrary to us. Father, we are... He said, but if we would return from our wicked ways and repent of our sins and not complain about the punishments that you have placed upon us by scattering us into all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that we have done wicked, Father, and we are repenting of our sins and returning from our wicked ways. And, Father, we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But this will be our testimony. This is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for the seed of Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction. Come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for the seed of Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love for you, a love. We pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you call the Messiah, that they would hear your voice and that they would come and obey. Now, Father, as we go to working them, we ask that you smile upon this work, that you would give us favor in all that we do. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, amen and amen. Let us go to 1 Kings chapter 8. and I will personalize this in our hearing. 1 Kings chapter 8, starting in verse 46. If we sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with us and deliver us to the enemy, so that they carry us away captive unto the land of the enemy, far or near. And if we shall bethink ourselves in the land whither we were carried captive, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried us captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all our heart and with all our soul in the land of our enemy, which led us away captive, and pray unto thee toward our land, which thou gavest unto our fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which Solomon has built for thy name. Then hear thou our prayer and our supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain our cause. And forgive thy people Israel that have sinned against thee, and all our transgressions wherein we have transgressed against thee. And give us compassion before them who carried us captive, that they may have compassion on us. For we be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto us in all that we call for unto thee. For thou didst separate us from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 and 13. And now, Israel, what does Yah thy Elohim require of thee? But to fear Yah thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve Yah thy Elohim with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of Yah and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 12, Deuteronomy 11, verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before thee this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse, you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohim, which you have not known. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 1. These are the statutes and the judgments which you shall do, which you shall observe to do in the land, which Yah your Elohim of thy fathers give thee to possess it all the days that you live upon the earth. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 1. Exodus 20, verses 1 through 6. And Elohim spake these words, saying, I am Yah thy Elohim, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, that thou shalt have no other Elohim before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, Yah thy Elohim, am a jealous Elohim, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. Book of Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. John chapter 14 and verse 15. The book of John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. Sounding of the shofar. Thank you.
just gotta have faith. It's life for the shadow, for all your tomorrow, knowing
Say no weapon formed
And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leper departed from him and was cleansed. But we want to approach Messiah from the standpoint that he's willing to heal us. He came for that purpose. And he's here today for us for that purpose. But we don't want to establish our healing doctrine in the leper's cry, if you are willing. He already has shown that he's willing. Don't base your faith upon if he's willing. Base your faith upon that you know that he is willing to heal. You have to believe. You have to be in the positive. I know that you are willing to heal me, but you also have to be willing to do what you're supposed to do. Because a lot of people want something for nothing. They want Messiah to heal them, but then they don't want to do, they don't want to change their ways. They don't want to change their life. They don't want to obey his voice. So understand, you come from the positive that he is willing to heal, but also you got to be willing to do what it is that he says to do. If you will obey my commandments, if you will hear my voice, if you will believe that I'm able to. So we are to believe, Yah, for divine healing. We are to have faith. Faith and believing are one and the same. We are to have faith in his power and his willingness to heal us. I am your healer. Got to know that and believe it and walk in that. Go to the book of Matthew chapter 9. And let's get verses 20 and 22 first. Matthew 9, verses 20 through 22. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Now this is her faith. He don't even have to speak to me. All I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. But Yeshua turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Before she even could touch him, he turned around. Be of good cheer. Your faith has made you whole. That's having no doubt. And when we pray, if we are up under something, then our faith has to let us know that he is able and willing to heal us. And to know that we can be made whole and will be made whole. We don't even want to use the word can there, because can carries, anytime you talk about possibilities, you talk about doubt. You have to speak in the affirmative, in the positive. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Let's drop down to verses 27. And when Yeshua departed there, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him. And Yeshua says unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Said unto him, yea, Lord. Remember, he asked the other man, do you believe that I am able to do this? Because if you don't believe, you're not going to receive. So he's reiterating the issue here. Do you believe that I am able to do this? In this case, it's two blind men. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Got to be believers. That Yah can and will do it. will do it. That's on the receiving end. If you are the prayer, if you are standing instead of Messiah, somebody, really our prayer should never be in a negative way. And what I mean by a negative way, with doubt in it. If it's possible, Yah, heal this person. No. Yah will heal you. They got to have that same belief. Because it can't just be you by yourself. And their eyes were open, and Yeshua straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. He didn't want anybody to know who he was at the time or what he was doing. But, you know, they went about the country and blabbed it for sure. How are you going to be blind and not tell nobody? That's, you know. But he didn't want them, you know, just tell them it happened. Okay. The key principle in these verses that we read, the men had to believe that Yeshua was able to do it. The woman had to believe that she would be made whole before it was ever done. Thy faith has made thee whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. If you ask and you doubt, he has already told us in Hebrews. If you ask and you doubt, you shall not receive it. I believe that's in James. I apologize. If you ask and you doubt, you shall not receive it. The Most High doesn't like being doubted. Because see, when we doubt him, then that means that we doubt that he will do what he said he's going to do. We doubt that he's going to carry out the verdict of his judgment. We doubt that he can... Everything about him, really, he doesn't like to be doubted at all. So, be it unto you according to your faith. Go to Hebrews 11. Yeah. For he that cometh to Elohim must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. When we started this off yesterday with these verses, and when we are back in faith, we have to reiterate these verses. It's impossible without faith to please him. And it's impossible without faith to receive of him. Go to Matthew chapter 21. Because a lot of people will confuse this. Matthew chapter 21, they're going to go to get verse 22. Matthew chapter 21 and verse 22. In all things, what's in prayer, underline believing. You shall receive. Elohim expects us in asking for healing as well in any other prayers to believe him. You got to ask believing. And how much do you have to believe? 100%. You don't ask in doubt, with doubt. To believe his word. Have faith in Elohim. Mark 11:22. Go to the book of Mark, chapter 11, 2. And Yeshua saying unto them, have faith in Elohim. Have faith in him. Believe in him. And in this case, you got to have faith in all cases with him. You got to have faith that you believe 100% in him. You cannot doubt. Elohim may ask you to demonstrate your faith. Go to Matthew chapter 12. The book of Matthew, chapter 12. And let's start in verse 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him? Now we know this is the Pharisees. And they are trying to trap him into doing, saying that he's breaking the Sabbath, okay? And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well or good on the Sabbath day. And see, this is what a lot of people have to understand, a lot of Hebrews as well. It's not a sin to do everything on the Sabbath day. It don't do any servile work. But if it is for a good cause, do it. If it's not for your own pleasure, do it. If you got to help somebody out, do it. That's what we got to understand. As the Most High says, it is okay to do well, do good work on the Sabbath. Seek not your own pleasure. Somebody's broken down on the freeway. They call you. It's the Sabbath. You say, I can't come get you after the Sabbath. No, that's not the will of the Most High. The Most High's will is that you would go and that you would get these people. And you would pick them up. Now, since they come, let's go to the football game on the Sabbath. That's a whole nother thing. Let's go to the bar. Let's go to a barbecue. That's a whole nother thing. That's in our own pleasure. So you can't do that on his Sabbath. But if there's a need to do a good work, and you can do that on the Sabbath. You help somebody out. So understand that. So we were in Matthew chapter 12, verse 10. We read verse 10 through 13. No, we did just to yeah, we did read through 13. So, no, we didn't read verse 13 because we got caught up. I got caught up in, you know, people thinking they can't do anything at all on the Sabbath, and that's just not true. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Because he did a good on the Sabbath. Now, they themselves, if they had a sheep or anything like that, you know, something needed to be done on the Sabbath that was a good work, they would do it. But as soon as he healed somebody on the Sabbath, then they want to condemn him. We got to learn from Messiah that do good works on the Sabbath. He don't expect us to seek our own pleasure. Okay. There are many times Yahweh asks you to show your faith, to give observable evidence of your faith, as in the case of the man who held out his hand that was withered. Think about it. There the Pharisees are, telling Messiah that, you know, asking if it's legal to heal on the Sabbath. This man also had to have faith to do what? Stretch out his hand to be healed, even against the Pharisees. That was a way of showing his faith. But he could have pulled his hand back and said, no, let's wait after the Sabbath. The Messiah could say, hey, you wait after the Sabbath, it's too late. So he stretched forth his hand. And the Most High may ask you to stretch forth your hand or your loved one to walk out in faith. Step out in faith to believe him. One of the things that we have to understand about Tua, not in faith, in faith. Because a lot of us believe that if we have faith, in faith, not in Yeshua, it's what you believe in, who you believe in, it's who you have faith in. Some of us put our faith in the doctor. And not that we don't, you know, do what they say to do or take their advice. To know that our healing, no matter what, it comes from and through Messiah. Go to Acts chapter 3. And get verse 16. Actually, let's start in verse 1. Acts chapter 3. Let's start in verse 1 here. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the tall beautiful to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seen Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask for alms. So this man is crippled from birth, born this way. Body never was right. Okay? And he's at the door to the temple. And somebody comes and they bring him there every day to beg for money. He's got to eat. Family's got to survive. And so the only thing he can do is ask for alms, ask for money. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now his feet and ankle bones had never been right from childbirth. He had never exercised them. He had never walked on them. And he leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. He was just laying outside the door, couldn't move. Somebody had to bring him there. Now here he is walking into the temple with Peter and John. And he leaping stood up and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising Elohim. And all the people saw him walking and praising Elohim. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering, what happened to you? How did you get healed? And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, you men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Or why look ye earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk? the Elohim of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the Elohim of our fathers, has glorified his son Yeshua, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Now, when you read that story of when they took Messiah to Pilate, if Pilate was of a mind to let him go, I find no fault in this man. And the people and the elders crucify him. Crucify him. His blood be on us and our children. And that's why we're going through this stuff that we're going through today. Because our own forefathers put a blood curse on us. His blood be on us and our children. So Pilate was determined to let him go, and the people said, crucify Messiah. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Let us have Barabbas, the murderer. Give him to us. Don't let Yeshua go. Give us the murderer. And kill the Prince of Life, whom Elohim has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which Elohim before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Yeshua should suffer, he has so fulfilled. So, go back to verse 16. And his name through faith in his name has made this man whole. Got to have faith in Yeshua. In the name of Yeshua. Can't just say you have faith either. You got to really have faith. So, Peter explains to everybody here how this man was healed by his faith in Yeshua. He said, hey, why are you marveling at this? It ain't by our power that he is healed. And you, as the prayer, or the one that the Most High is working through, and never say that it's by your power, or never feel puffed up that it's through you, or that it's, no, I won't say through you, that it's by you. It's always going to be of the Father, through the Father. Sometimes we pray for something and it don't come right away. And sometimes we ask for healing and it doesn't come right away. Sometimes we got to walk for a while in faith because it didn't manifest right away. We can't start doubting. Go to Luke chapter 17, the book of Luke chapter 17. And let's start in verse 12. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now he's coming into this village. And when he said that he met these 10 men, they didn't come up on him. They were a little ways away. But they saw each other. And they lifted up their voice and said, Yeshua, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. So they asked for mercy have mercy on us. And they evidently had to believe that he was able to do it. They had to believe it. And he told them, go show yourself to the priest. To be was supposed to be a sign to the priesthood. Because ain't nobody had ever been cured of leprosy. And you know, with the law of leprosy, the priest had to check you out. Every 7 to 14 days, they had to check you out to see if your leprosy had changed. So they were like the doctors. Now go and show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was turned back, and with a loud voice glorified Elohim, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Now, this was a man of Samaria, but he was a Hebrew, because Messiah didn't come to heal the Gentiles. This was a man of the northern kingdom. Now look and see what Messiah says to him. And Yeshua answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the other ones at? Why didn't they come back and give thanks? There are not found that return to give glory to Elohim, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of Elohim should come, I'm going into something else. So these men have been walking in faith. They have been dealing with their illness for a while. And when their healing came, out of 10 people, only one thanked the Most High. The other ones just received the healing and went about their lives. They probably did go tell the priest. The story didn't go on and say that they did, but they probably did. And the priest probably would know, how did you get healed? The truth of the matter is, they should have known that the Messiah was there. This had never happened before. They should have known that he was there. I want you to take note that when the lepers prayed and they asked for mercy, they weren't healed at that moment. Go back to that verse. Go back to verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass as they went, they were going on their way. They weren't healed right then when he said, go show yourselves unto the priest. It's as they were going, their healing came as they went. Because he gave them an instruction. Go show yourself to the priest. So they started to go that way. But one, only one felt like he had a need to come back and to thank him. But we got to understand there's a lot of times when we pray for something and the healing doesn't come right away that we don't lose faith, that we believe that Elohim is going to do it. And we go about to follow whatever instruction he gave us, if he gave us any instruction. We go about to do that, but we believe that the healing is coming. Because a lot of times people don't receive healing right away, and then they start to lose faith. Not what we're to do. So don't pray and then doubt. You pray for it. You believe it, that you're going to receive it. If it doesn't happen right away, or you count it as already done, even though you can't physically see the manifestation of it yet. It's done. And you believe that. You don't doubt. Chapter 1. James chapter 1, in verses 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, not doubting. For he that wavers, or he that doubts, is like the wave of the sea driven by with the wind and tossed. For let that man think that, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of Yah. When you ask Yah, you have to believe, and you cannot waver. You cannot doubt. Believe it and receive it. And even though, as I said, you may not see it, you may not feel it right away, believe that Yah is going to heal you. That is already done. You're just waiting for it to manifest. Believe the healing promise of his word. I am thy healer. Reject doubt. Because you know what we've already read, what happens when you doubt. Choose, say, Elohim is true. His word is true. So my doubt must go. Rebuke the doubt. Don't start saying, well, maybe he didn't, you know, it's not his will. You got to believe that he's going to do it. He said he would. He said he is. He's going to do it. It may not manifest right away. You might have to walk in faith for a minute. So let's look how to get divine healing from the Most High. By prayer, as we've already seen, by a spoken word. Let's go to John chapter 4, the book of John chapter 4. And let's start in verse 49. John chapter 4, starting in verse 49. And the word of the Most High reads, "There's no man saith unto him, Sir, come down here, my child die. Yeshua said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Yeshua had spoken to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Now, that was a spoken word. Messiah just said, the man said, hey, I need you to come down here. My son is dying. And Messiah said, your son liveth. And the man went his way. And as he went his way, a servant met him and said, your son lives. So Messiah didn't have to go to his son's house, didn't have to go to the man's house. All he had to do was speak the word. And all you have to do, if you understand the true power that the Most High has given us, is speak the word and know that it is Yah that's going to fulfill them. Go to Acts chapter 9. Chapter 9. And let's get verses 33 and 34. A certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Yeshua HaMashiach, maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he rose immediately. He gets up. So we see again here the power of the spoken word. Peter spoke this and just told him by faith in Yeshua. Yeshua has made you whole. He just declared the truth to the man. Messiah healed. Now in this case, the miracle happened immediately. The man just rose up from the bed. When you are ministering to somebody, just tell them, Yeshua healed. And make no apology for the statement. Don't doubt it. Don't try to water it down. Just speak the truth. Verses 8 through 10. Acts 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man of Lystra, impotent in his feet. Something wrong with this man's feet. Being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul's feet, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. Paul was looking at this man. Paul, for man, had the faith in him to be healed. And said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when Paul saw that, and when the people saw that Paul had done, they lifted up their voice, saying in a speech of Laconia, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. These people mistook Paul for what? A god? An Elohim? But the truth of the matter is, Paul saw in this man the faith to be healed, and he just spoke the truth, stand up. Okay. How did this man come to the place where he had the faith to be healed? The answer is he heard the word of Elohim spoken by Paul. Paul had been teaching there. And the man had faith to believe what Paul had been teaching. We're supposed to preach the word. We're supposed to teach the word. Elohim's word will inspire faith in the hearers. The word will inspire faith, not we ourselves. So we are to teach and preach the word of Elohim. That's how this man heard. That's how he got his faith. Paul saw that he believed. So then Paul commanded him to get up. Because the man believed that he could be healed, he just jumped up. And his feet were supposedly weak from birth. He had never walked. So that's by the spoken word. Paul didn't touch him. Paul didn't pray over him. Paul taught the word. He preached the word of Elohim. He preached the gospel. The man heard it and believed it and got faith. Enough faith to be healed. It means he didn't doubt. Let's look at being healed by the laying on of hands. Chapter 9. And let's get verses 10 and 11. Now, this is when Paul is receives salvation. He receives the message from Messiah. He's chosen by Messiah. And he's on his way to Damascus. Chapter 9, verse 10 and 11. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said Yah in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Yah. And Yah said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Drop down to verse 17 and 18. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house and putting his hand on him said, Brother Saul, Yah, even Yeshua that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. That it doesn't require an apostle to heal the sick. This man is a prophet. He's a man of the Most High in this city. It doesn't require someone with special healing ministry to heal the sick, even though the Most High can give you that ministry. He's a disciple. Mark chapter 16, verses 17 and 18 records Yeshua promised to all believers, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will place their hands on the sick people, and they will get well. We see that happening here in Acts chapter 9. And you got to know that you can lay hands on someone and believe that the Most High is going to protect you and heal this person, somebody with the word of Elohim. You can build up their faith. Because it's his word that gives life. It's his word that goes into their heart. It's his word that gives them faith to believe. And what to believe, which means you got to tell them what to believe. Give them the truth. Go to Proverbs chapter 4. The book of Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 22. My son, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are light unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. And what this person is giving their son is the word of Elohim. It's not their own personal word. Teaching them the law, the statutes, the commandments, the ordinances, the judgments, the word of the Most High, teaching it to them. The words that's recorded in the scriptures are life-giving. Yeshua said that his words are spirit and they are life. Go to John chapter 6, and let's get verse 63. John chapter 6, verse 6 and 63. It is the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. We are spiritual beings, and we are fed by the words that we eat. We are fed by what we believe and what we take in and what we hold on to. We got to know what is expected of us. We got to know what the Most High wants us to do. We got to know what he would have us to do, and we have to consume that. That's why Messiah said, it is written. And he knew that his words would be written down after he was gone. The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. So we have to eat this, consume it, and allow it to reprogram us, to build us up, and where we put our faith in, what we believe in, who we believe in, how we believe it. And when we read this, this word also reveals something else in the scripture, in the proverb. If you keep Yah's word within your heart, and that benefit is health. My words are health to a man's whole body. The secular world speaks of alternative health. But the best source of alternative health, or any aspect of health, is the sure promises of Elohim in his word, the Bible. All these other things, you know, they might have some benefit to them, but the best source go through the Most High. Go to Acts chapter 19. Now, the Most High is able to work this way. Does he still do it, what we're about to read? Some have claimed that he has. I can't testify personally to this, but we know it happened at least here. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. This one, because these are disciples, John's disciples here. They have not heard of the Holy Spirit. They have not, you know, heard of salvation this way. So let's get this story and look and see what else goes on. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus. And he, finding certain disciples, he said unto them, why have you received the Holy Ghost or the Ruach HaKodesh since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or Ruach HaKodesh. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Yeshua HaMashiach, or Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, or in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, remember the laying on of hands, Paul had hands laid on him. Now he's laying hands on someone to receive the Ruach. The Holy Ghost came upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of Elohim. But when divers or different ones were hardened, and believe not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude. So he had a group of people, different men, coming against what he was saying now. He departed from them and separated the disciples and disputed daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of Yeshua HaMashiach, both Jews and Greeks. And Elohim worked special miracles by the hands of Paul. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So Paul didn't even have to go there. They got handkerchiefs and aprons, and you know, they touched his body, and it was given to these sick people, and they were healed. Okay, now we have some people who have claimed in these modern days who have performed the same miracle. I have never seen it myself, but not to say that it can't happen. At the most, I can't use somebody this way. Seen it though. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, and now we got to look at this, because we got a lot of people out there who mimic, who say that they have the truth and they don't, who will use the word because they know that there's power in the word, but they have no authority to use it. A lot of people be praying for people. They have no authority to pray for them. They are praying for things that they have no authority to pray for. They haven't even been saved themselves, but they want to claim it. Now you might say that's faith. It's not faith if it's a lie. Say Elohim has chosen you and he has not. That's a lie. So here we got some vagabond Jews. Okay, these are vagabonds or people who travel. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, saying, we adjure you by Yeshua whom Paul preached. Not that whom we preach, but whom Paul preached. Mimicking. They're going to use an authority that they don't have. And watch and see what these spirits do, the spirit in this man. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. So these are the chief priests' sons, claiming that they can cast out evil spirits. They're exorcists. And the evil spirit answered and said, Yeshua I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I don't recognize your authority. You're calling on a name and invoking an authority, and you're not authorized to use the authority. And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. They're trying to heal somebody, but they don't have the power or the authority. And a lot of people are running around that way today. So say, you got to know that you know that you know that you have the spirit of the Most High and that you have the authority and you have the power. He is your power. Okay. Now, as Paul wasn't there locally with the people that, you know, the handkerchiefs and stuff were sent to, he didn't have to be in their presence for this miracle to happen. I believe the same way we can pray for people, even though I believe there's times that we need to be there and lay hands on people, that we can pray from a distance and the word of Yah will come forth. We just have to believe. So we're not using any handkerchiefs. We're using the word of Yah. And that's the most powerful word you can ever use, is use his word. Don't come up with your own. Use his word. Look at what the condition of your heart must be to receive healing. Go to Proverbs chapter 17, the book of Proverbs chapter 17. And let's get verse 22. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. Your attitude toward your receiving your healing, your attitude toward the Most High, or what, you know, if you feel like you are going to die, if people around you are being negative, can cause the person not to receive. If they are being negative, can cause them not to receive themselves. Just a merry heart, a cheerful heart, is good medicine. But if you crush their spirit by taking away their hope, by making them think that there's only one answer, one outcome that is possible, then you can crush their spirit, which will dry up their bones, which will cause them to die, because you took away their hope. So we want to make sure that we are positive and that we help them to be positive, receive their healing, if that's what they want to receive, that they believe and not doubt. You know, I know, but as soon as you hear a but, you know there's doubt. Can't be no but. That's a goat spirit. But. That's a goat. Do they but? Need to turn them from a goat into a sheep. Hear the voice of Messiah and that they would follow him with 100% of their heart. Where are we at? 10:30. Okay. Now, I know we understand that word heart in that verse is not talking about the heart in our chest. It's talking about our will, our spiritual being, our will to hear the Most High. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And let's get verse 22. Let's look at one of the fruits of the Spirit. It said a merry heart, okay, a joyful heart. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Joy is merriment, is happiness. If we have a merry heart and a positive heart toward the Most High and what he does for us and will do for us, then we can receive healing. Those who allow the presence of Yah in their lives to bring daily inward joy will also reap the wonderful promises of their merry heart doing good like a medicine. When you become negative, that itself causes your body and your spirit to wither up. Take away your ability to fight and to receive healing from the Most High. When we put all of our trust in what man says, the doctor comes in with a negative report and we believe the doctor instead of believing in Yah. Take the doctor with that news or diagnosis that he gives, it's not bringing joy. He's withering the spirit. Anytime we hear, you know, you hear the word cancer or you hear anything like that, the first immediate effect and thought is death. and emotionally, in our spirit, we start to dry up. We start to lose hope. I've been there, done that, and the Most High had to pull me back from that. When they told me I had cancer, I didn't just hear cancer, I heard death. And it's most people that I know that, you know, because of the stigma that we put on cancer, you tell somebody they have cancer, the first thought they have is, I'm going to die. But we have to know that with the Most High, all things are possible, and He has the last say. He does. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And let's get verses 29 and 30. And this is talking about Yah's Supper. Let's actually start in verse 23. We'll read down through 20. We'll read down through 30. For I have received of Yah, which also I delivered unto you, that Yah, that Yeshua HaMashiach, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show Yeshua's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of Yah unworthily, or of Yeshua unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and blood of Yeshua. Shall be guilty of killing him. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yeshua's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many died. When it is his supper, that also, when we receive of his supper, that also, if we're doing it worthily, healing. But if we do it unworthily, we drink damnation to ourselves. And a lot of people just think taking Yah's Supper as something to do, or we're doing communion. But actively sinning, saying that you take his body, let me get the exact word it says, you drink it unworthily. Not discerning his body, not discerning the purpose. I went to that cross and died for you that I might redeem you from your sins and make it where I could heal you again. I can make you whole. And I will become your healer again, as I promised you in Torah. And then you don't appreciate what I've done. You take for granted what I have done. As it said in Hebrews chapter 10, you didn't discern what I had done. And he says, you drink damnation. You bring damnation on yourself. Do we take Messiah too lightly? We take when we have come to him and say that we follow him, we take it too lightly. It's a serious thing. And you don't want to transgress it. You don't want to dishonor him. Even in the communion. Taking the bread and drinking the blood. Drinking the blood. Drinking the wine. Or the grape juice. You don't want to take that if it represents his body and disrespect it by drinking it unworthily. You've been knowingly sinning. And then you're going to take communion. It says you eat and drink damnation to yourself. For this cause, many are weak and sickly. Why are they sickly? Because they aren't discerning his body. Just doing something, following the crowd. Got to know that we can't do that. Can't let your children do it. You know, we just in church and we just following the masses. We know when we are not in church, we're not doing what we're supposed to do. We're halfway doing it. We believe in that all I got to do is confess in and he is true and just to forgive me. And we don't really even understand that. Maybe we're doing it in ignorance. But then we take up his body. And we do it without discerning his body, without respecting his body. So we drink damnation and eat damnation to ourselves. Then when we start getting sick and getting these diseases, we're wondering what we did. Why did this come on me? Not discerning. Understand, as a believer, you need to understand what you are in. You need to understand and respect Messiah. You need to walk in his ways. Can't make excuses for yourself. Can't make excuses for anybody else. Tell them the truth. Because, as I said, it is Yah who brings these things on people because of how they treat him. And the problem is people don't really believe that. Or they don't think it applies to them. But it does. So when we partake of Yah's supper, we want to make sure that we are worthy to take of it, that we are doing what we're supposed to do to take of it. And he says we can receive healing in that. You can receive healing from participating in that act. But if we are doing it unworthily, then we drink damnation to ourselves and illnesses and whatever comes. And we're wondering why. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to close here for this morning. I think I've made the point that through the word, through the laying on of hands, through prayer, we are healed if we believe. And when we pray for somebody, if we believe that it is done, not doubting, it shall be done. But they also have to believe. Well, Messiah said over and over and over again, according to your faith. Do you believe I am able to do this? It unto you. Let the result be that your faith dictate what happens to you. It's like saying, hey, if you pray for healing and you got a serious illness, and you pray for healing, and your faith doesn't say that you believe that he is able to do it and will do it, your faith is what kills you. Because you didn't believe. You doubt it. So as you go forward, make sure that anybody that you are ministering to, that they understand that they have to have a positive attitude. That alone will allow them to receive healing, but they also must believe and they cannot doubt that Yah will heal them, even if they don't see it right away. If they got to walk in their faith, if they are to count it as already being done, and believe that and never doubt, because when we doubt, we will not receive. With that being said, I thought I wanted to play a song today before we dismiss. May the Most High bless you. May He encamp His angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep His commandments, saints. Shalom and happy Sabbath. Enjoy the rest of your day. On this evening, we will be doing spiritual wellness, and we will be looking at the movie on this evening, The Journey of Man. Somebody help me with my class. Good grief. Click on stuff that I'm not supposed to.
Forever. wanna do is jump, lift my head up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time, push a buck. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishra, got good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yeah, who are you?
Hello, Sister Mary. Happy Sabbath to everybody else. Your day.